Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour here on Sports Open Line. Got a little hockey for you here in this first part of the hour. I don't know what we're going to do in the last half hour. Chris Ronji's in the building, and we're probably going to chat a little bit, so that could probably go anywhere. My guess is we'll talk a little bit about the Cardinals' new manager and a few other things. You know, we'll see where it goes. Sometimes with Ronji and I, it can go sideways. I don't mean in a bad way. I just mean like it can go in any number of different directions as the conversation goes. But we'll do that later on in the hour. I do want to talk about the Blues and the best five-game start in franchise history. Now, does that tell us how the whole year is going to go? Nah, I mean, it's five games. But it's still encouraging because I still don't think they're playing at their peak. And look, I know the Kings are not particularly strong right now. I mean, they're off to a 1-4-1 start, but part of that is two losses to the Blues. So, you know, give the Blues credit for that. I know that Colorado was missing guys and, that they haven't faced everybody that, you know, Vegas was missing some guys. But then again, the Blues have missed some guys in some of these games, too. So it's been a little bit interesting in that regard. But the Blues are getting good performance up and down the lineup. I thought it was great to see Tarasenko score a couple goals last night. I mean, you know, if that guy can just be something close to the way that he used to be, I think that changes everything about this team. I mean, first of all, if you still have to end up trading him, it's going to increase the value of what you can get in return for him. So you got that. But if he's going to be willing to stick around and things are going all right and maybe, you know, maybe bygones are bygones and everything's going well now, you could tell that he appreciated the crowd reaction last night. He said so after the game. You know, to me, that's the perfect result in all of this. The perfect result is you have a healthy sniper that can score you 30, 35, 40 goals. Now, I don't know if that's still in there, but he's not that old. It's not like he's washed. He's just been hurt. And if he's healthy, you know, that's the, I mean, to me, the ideal would be he stays and ends up scoring you a bunch of goals and is a big factor on the power play. But either way, you know, whether it's him sticking around or him still being traded, either way, the better he plays, the better it is for the Blues. So when you kind of take a look at it in sum total, it's great to see that you've gotten at least one goal or one assist from every skater on the roster so far this season. So you know you got that as a positive, the depth that's showing itself. And you're going to need that depth even more. You know, Brandon Saad and Ryan O'Reilly were placed on the COVID list today. Now, Saad had already missed a game because of that. Actually, I think two games because of that. He missed the home opener, and obviously missed the game against the Kings last night, too. So you've already had him out. It sounds like it's going to be a while for Ryan O'Reilly, which sucks. But again, you have a team that's pretty deep that you can call upon some players that you really like. And actually, that's the topic that was talked about after this morning's optional skate with Craig Berube. And I want you to hear him talk about this because he'll do a better job of laying out what the Blues have in front of him, do a better job at that than I will. So here's a little bit from Craig Berube this morning, kind of talking about the Saad and O'Reilly situation and obviously a little bit about last night there too.
Greg, just for starters, your thoughts on you're going to be missing O'Reilly here for a while.
Yeah, it's obviously not very good news for obviously O'Reilly and his health and the team for sure. It's just something that it's an obstacle that we're going to have to deal with, and just like we had to with Saad.
Greg, is this a challenge just because he plays in so many situations for you, and he's never missed a game since he's been here?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I think that we have good depth here, and everybody's going to have to step up and the next guy up, kind of attitude, and go from there. You can't overthink it, and it is what it is. And the best way to deal with it is move on and wait for these guys to get healthy and get back. But in the meantime, go play hockey.
Craig, did you just find out yourself this morning, and how much of a surprise was it for you?
Yeah, I found out when I got to the rink, and obviously it's upsetting and surprising at the same time. But it's not something you want to hear, that's for sure. But again, we'll just deal with it.
Any initial thoughts on who you put up on that for online, or are you still mulling it over?
Yeah, I got some ideas and things like that, but I'll make that decision tomorrow morning before practice.
Craig Binnington wasn't out on the ice. Anything you could share on?
No, it's just he didn't play, and we wanted a one-on-one session with Davey Alexander with him.
Oh, he did a separate session with Alexander?
Yes, yeah. He was with him the whole time.
Craig, after watching film last night, just any other thoughts on the game and what you saw?
We had I guess the biggest thing that jumps out at me is we had puck most of the game. It's just what we did with it. I didn't think that we penetrated enough inside the dots and inside the house with it. And I didn't think we were kind of on the outside too much. We moved the puck around really well, but, you got to get to the hard areas. And we didn't do that enough, in my opinion. I thought defensively we were sound. I thought that we were second, third effort defensively and had some real good sticks. But offensively, we just need to do a little more, when we have the puck.
Craig, I know you like the way Dakota Joshua looked in camp, so looks like you'll get a good chance here.
Yeah, he had a good camp, I thought. Really came in and played hard and physical and used his size and his skating to, that's what he is. And, he's a good player. Like, I think he knows his role. He does it very well. And we're going to need him now.
Craig, these guys, Saad and O'Reilly, are both on this COVID non-roster list. Does that indicate that they'll be out for a little while?
O'Reilly's out at least 10 days, I believe. I'm just not sure on Saad yet when he's back. So it's getting close, though.
Well, in terms of the team, do you address the team about this? How was the team's reaction?
Well, they're not happy, obviously. It's, it's not a good feeling, but we addressed it with the team, and it's like I told the team, listen, this could go on all year. Like, you never know. I mean, it's obstacles that are going to, come at us, and we just got to deal with them, and you got to fight through it. And the strength of our team is our team, and we're a deep team, which is important, so we got to go play.
There you go, Craig Berube from earlier today. So, obviously heard him say there, it's going to be a while, at least 10 days for Ryan O'Reilly. But, when it's early in the year and, you're off to a good start, it feels like you can handle things like that, right? If this happened in the middle of a rough patch, you'd be like, oh, no. But starting off 5-0 and obviously having a deep roster will help. I don't know. It's probably going to get a little bumpy, I would think, during the time that O'Reilly's out, because you're not always going to be getting the bounces that you're getting now. You're not always going to be playing as well as you're playing right now. But you can't control that. What you can control is the fact that, Doug Armstrong put together a deep roster that you can call on someone like Dakota Joshua, who it was called up today and can fill in at the on the fourth line and give you exactly what you're looking for in that spot. And you have other guys that can play up in the lineup as well. All right, stick around. We got more hockey next up. I'm going to switch to from the really amazing start for the Blues and things click in and this team looking like it could be one of the better teams in the Western Conference to the disaster that is the Chicago Blackhawks, both on and off the ice. Stan Bowman was forced to step down today. The team was fined by the NHL for their handling of the sexual misconduct of a video coach from 2010 that happened during the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll tell you about how that was handled. Obviously, they're off to a terrible start on the ice as well, so things are not great with the rivals to the north. We'll tell you about that next up here on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in the 7 o'clock hour here on Sports Open Line. And, you know, you contrast how things are going in the hockey world here in St. Louis with the Blues off to a good start. People are feeling good about things. Even the one area where you thought there could be some controversy, you know, with Vlad Tarasenko being in there, it's been smooth, and he scored a couple of goals last night. If you're a hockey fan in St. Louis, you got to love what you're seeing. I mean, everybody loves wins. We all love stacking points. We love seeing, you know, the depth of the roster and the ability for guys to play up and down the lineup depending on what's necessary. Goaltending's been good. Ville Husso was really good last night with the shutout. And, of course, Jordan Binnington's been solid, too. They have had some moments where they're a little loose defensively. But, you know, again, I think that there's plenty of time to sort all that out. And it feels good to watch hockey when the team is off to a good start. The Blackhawks, on the other hand, are in a completely different circumstance. I don't know that the first couple of weeks to a season could be any worse for a franchise. Not only are they off to an 0-5-1 start with 12 goals scored in six games, not only are they 0-5-1 and not scoring, but they've got half their roster on the COVID list, including Kane and Taves. And then yesterday, the independent investigation that they commissioned with a law firm in Chicago, the independent investigation into the sexual assault allegations that a player brought up against their video coach from that time period, from 2010 in the Stanley Cup run, the video coach is Brad Aldrich. The report was delivered yesterday, and today, a lot of it was, well, the whole thing was made public, and some of the details are out there now, and oof, it's not good. It's not good at all. First of all, the NHL fined the Blackhawks $2 million, which is super light. I mean, again, New Jersey got fined $3 million for Ilya Kovalchuk's contract because it circumvented the salary cap. So you can tell what matters more to the league, right? What matters more to the league is one owner making other owners angry by playing around with the salary cap That's clearly more important than a team covering up an allegation of sexual assault during the Stanley Cup playoffs, because that's what happened. The player reported it. And according to the independent investigation conducted by the law firm, all of the important people in the organization had a meeting about it in the playoffs, like in the conference finals. And their decision was, we're going to keep this quiet until we're done. We're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to, you know, do the investigation. We're not going to take any action. We're just going to pretend that it didn't happen and let it all play out, because we have a chance to win the Stanley Cup and we can't have any distractions. That's essentially what happened there. So all of the executives, and by the way, that meeting included the GM, Stan Bowman. It included the team president, John McDonough. It included head coach Joel Quenneville, and Coach Q might be in some trouble here soon, too. He's the head coach for Florida. This news is not going to be received well, that all of these power brokers were in on this meeting where they were told about what happened, and their decision was, we don't want any distractions here in the playoffs. Look, we all understand how important the playoffs are. We all understand how important winning the Stanley Cup is. But if protecting the victim of any kind of crime doesn't supersede that, you're doing it wrong. You know, you had a minor league player that was up with the team for the playoffs, you know, kind of as an extra body around. That guy was, his claim was that he was sexually assaulted by the video coach. And when he made the claim known, the team didn't do anything. In fact, a lot of these guys after the fact said that they didn't know about it, when now this report shows that they absolutely did. They knew about it on May 23rd, 2010. All of them. And now people are starting to lose their jobs over it. And that's a good thing. Now, as a part of this investigation, now we find out too, though, that player then subsequently was basically attacked by other players because of this issue. Like, they were skating around during practice and openly using homophobic slurs to taunt him and to mess with him and to cause trouble. And according to this report, again, this is from the law firm that this report was commissioned by the Blackhawks, that these players were tormenting him, taunting him, abusing him verbally over this situation. Now, who knows why? I mean, they might have thought he was making it up to, you know, win a lawsuit, whatever. But the why doesn't matter. Whether they thought that what they were doing was okay or not doesn't matter. You had teammates. One of the allegations was that a former Blackhawks player, who was obviously not former at the time, but somebody that's not with the organization now, was chasing him around on the ice at a practice and yelling homophobic slurs at him and, you know, taunting him over the assault. So this is just like terrible level after terrible level. I mean, first thing that comes to my mind, if that's happening at a practice, no coaches say anything. The coaches were there. That's in the report, that the coaches were present when these things were happening. So they don't notice a guy being singled out and being harassed like that? What about the rest of the teammates? Where are they at? Where's another teammate to step up to the guy that's being a jerk and say, man, this guy's on our team. We don't do this to teammates, man. Back down. So nobody stood up for this guy. Nobody on the ice stood up for him when other players were taunting him and tormenting him. Nobody in the front office stood up for him when the allegation came out. They let this video coach continue to work through the Stanley Cup playoffs to have his name on the Stanley Cup and to go through the parade and all the post-cup parties and all of that before they parted ways with him. And then guess what happened? This video coach applied for a coaching job in Michigan in amateur sports. The Blackhawks gave him a recommendation While he was at that job, he sexually assaulted a teenage boy and pled guilty to that. That was 3 years after the 2010 incident in Chicago. So to recap here, when the Blackhawks were told about this, they decided doing nothing was the plan. Players on the team, not all of them that we know of, but certainly players on the team, tormented and abused this guy verbally over the incident that he brought up. And then not only did they let the accused stay on as, I mean, it's the video coach, right? I mean, this is not a bench coach. This isn't your head coach or anything. I mean, even that would be disgusting, but I mean, this is a, no, these guys are no, these are, this is a nobody. I mean, keep in mind, when this guy got let go, his next job was with an amateur coaching organization. It wasn't like another NHL team. But this guy gets to go through and celebrate it all, have his name on the cup, be a part of all of those celebrations, and then you give a recommendation on him for his next job, knowing what you know about the... And by the way, that wasn't the only allegation against this guy with the Blackhawks. He apparently would try to lure team interns to his apartment. And this was known to employees in the organization. So you know what? Knowing all of this, I'm glad the Blackhawks suck this year. And I hope they continue. And I hope there's more punishment coming from the NHL down the road. All right, hang tight, man. We're going to talk a little bit with our buddy Chris Ranji coming up next here on KMOX. All right, coming up after the top of the hour, we got At Your Service with our good friend Chris Ranji.
Who?
Good to see you around, Ranj. Man,
hey,
how you been, dude?
Kevin. I walked in the studio today.
Yes.
And there's you.
Yeah.
There's Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Yep.
There's a gentleman I don't know
Michael.
Yet. Hi, Michael. Everybody's a redhead.
Yeah, my sons are here.
I don't know. Like,
they don't know that I'm their dad, but
is this intentional? Did you?
Oh, it's a prank on you.
Oh, well, it's not much of a prank. I don't mind redheaded people. I love redheads.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know what we are. We're like, what are we, like 6% of the population or something stupid like that? And we're all in this room right now.
Yeah, I think redheaded people deserve every bit of, recognition the rest of us get.
Yeah.
Like, they should, you know, you should all be able to.
We should be able to drive cars.
You should be able to drive cars. Yeah. You should be able to go to movies and to Six Flags without anybody bothering you.
Well, thank God for hats, right? I mean, you know.
That's right. honest to God, I don't think I've been. My aunt, by marriage, she's been my aunt for a long time. Like all of her family, redheads.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they're like 10 of them. But I still don't think I've been in a room with this many redheads. Like, not even that.
I mean, you're literally within like 12 feet of three different redheads.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, y'all look great.
I mean, I know that. I mean, that's good. It's a given.
Wheeler.
It's a given.
How you doing,
good,
pal?
Good, man. What's new?
You.
What's new? Hey, by the way.
What?
I like your Ollie Marmol vest. Oh, wait. That doesn't say Marmol.
I think it says Marmot.
Marmot. Is that Marmot?
I don't even know how to
pronounce
this.
That's probably Marmot. It's probably French.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know. It's a,
but Marmot like would be a weird name for clothing since it's an animal.
It's an outdoor clothing company.
So it's probably Marmot. It's probably French.
I don't
know. Yeah.
It
be my guess.
Is.
So, you, I mean, knowing you, it would be fancy.
Yeah, because I'm kind of a fancy person. Thank you for noticing.
I was just, when I first looked, I thought it said Marmol. Like, I didn't, because the T didn't, you couldn't see it all. It was like folded. I'm like, wow, that was fast.
Well, yeah,
someone's
a
fan.
Right. I mean, I'm not that quick about it. I might have one made. What the heck?
How'd you, what'd you think of all this with the move from Schill to Ollie, how it all played out? I mean, we don't know all the details yet, but just, you know, what'd you think?
I don't know about you, Kevin, but what a surprise. Like, it's...
the Ollie part is not a surprise, right?
No, that part isn't, that eventually he would get that job.
Right. I mean, just the fact that he was the leading candidate, too. I mean, like, as soon as the Schill news came down, everybody that covers the team, Ollie and Stubby, I mean, you know, probably the next two guys.
Whatever the disagreement was, and clearly there was a disagreement, I commend Mike Schilt, because the only thing that happened in that room was he said, okay, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm not changing. I'm not moving off of what I believe. And the Cardinals said, well, neither are we. And they both decided to move on, or he was told that it's time to move on, whatever it is. I mean, he stuck to his guns, so I have a lot of respect for that. Because he could have very easily, whatever the meeting was that happened, or the discussions that happened, he could have very easily said, yeah, you know what, you're probably right, maybe we should do that. But to his credit, right or wrong, and I don't know.
Well, we'll find out, right?
Yeah, eventually it'll come out.
Oh, but we'll also find out, like, if they get better. If they maybe,
if
they
yes.
get a, you see some differences, like how they, like, I know Ollie mentioned yesterday, you know, talking about lineup structure. And he said, hey, look, man, you know, the idea here is to have the best lineup for that day. And maybe you're batting leadoff today, but tomorrow you're batting eighth. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing to me. Like, that's what the Rays do, right? That's what the Dodgers mm-hmm. do. They move things around based on how they can maximize the matchup that day.
Which is fine.
Yeah. But, I mean, we might see that kind of thing. And that then we'll start to know, all right, these are some of the things that probably were a part of the disagreement.
It doesn't happen with a lot of teams. I think as time goes on, you're going to see it more and more happen.
Yeah.
And you'll probably see it happen a lot more often with bullpens.
Oh, yeah, that's another area we might notice a difference.
Yeah, because people like their roles, right? Yeah, yeah. Players like to know, I'm the three-hitter, I'm the two-hitter, or I...
Well, and the big dudes are going to be. You know,
they
what I mean,
be.
Like,
yeah,
you're not
going
to jack around too much with like Goldie and Arenado and stuff like that. This is going to be players that maybe have split, like platoon splits or hot or cold streaks or whatever.
Which is good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want. But for everybody else, they should be moving parts.
Yeah,
and I think an ideal bullpen, and this is not a new idea, it's something that I'm sure you've talked about a ton on your shows. You know, I've talked about it. It's more of an advanced analytics idea that. Just because you're named the closer doesn't mean you should finish the game every time. Sometimes you should pitch in the seventh because the best hitters are going to be up in the seventh
inning.
Just talked
about that a little bit ago. Like, you know, if you got 2-3-4 coming up in a one-run game in the seventh inning, maybe your best guy should be there.
Right.
Because you don't know what's if you fall behind, well, then it doesn't matter who your closer is.
The game could be in the eighth and not the ninth.
And then if you score four in the next inning, you may not need a closer then either.
The difficulty with that is, and managers aren't stupid.
No.
I think they understand that maybe it would be better if we had our closer pitch in the eighth. But a lot of guys are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And if they think, well, you know, I'm a ninth inning guy. I'm more comfortable in the ninth inning. I get amped for that inning. Or you've got a guy who a lot of times pitches seventh or eighth, can't handle the pressure of being the last guy out of the pen. So there's a reluctance to do it, and that's all psychological,
well, there's
which
also,
is real.
There's also the reality that the system right now pays for saves, even though teams don't value them, which is really stupid. You know, I mean, one thing I always gave Mike Matheny a lot of credit for was he just flat out said that. He's like, hey, man, these guys get paid based on these numbers.
They do.
So when if you're asking people to say the team needs you in the seventh inning 20 times this year instead of being instead of closing the game. So you get, let's say you get 12 fewer saves. Well, arbitration is a lot of times decided by that kind of number.
Right.
So I think what has to happen along with this evolution is front offices not need to evolve and they need to start paying those guys more, saying, okay, listen, even if you're not quote unquote the closer, we're going to start paying leverage relievers and you're going to get paid the same as you would for saves, or maybe find a different way to value late inning appearances and just get rid of saves altogether.
Well,
and just say, here's the highest leverage spot, and we get, I don't know, what do you even call it? You come up with a name that sounds amazing and use that.
High leverage guy. You're the HLG.
Yeah,
you're one of our HLGs. I think this
LIPs,
is...
leverage innings pitched.
Oh, there you go.
LIP. There we go, baby! We already got fielding independent pitching, right? You got FIPs. We can have LIP. We need more anagrams in the stat world.
Yes, as many acronyms as possible.
Did I say anagrams?
Yeah, I think anagram is like a...
Yeah, it's not that.
That's not a... I don't think you want an anagram, do you?
No, I don't know.
It just sounded
something close to what I wanted to say.
It started with an A. I got a word starts with an A.
Yeah.
I think we're going to move that direction.
Yeah.
Baseball and front offices will move that direction. Maybe, Kevin, they will use this time during the lockout to figure it out.
That would be a great idea. I mean, seriously, like these are among the things that probably do need to get sorted out, because I think it's better for baseball when you're playing the game the way other sports are played, which is when you have a chance to attack a team, when you have a chance to win a game, you can go win a game.
Right.
You don't, you know, you don't want to wait for, like the NFL, they don't wait to run their best offense for the 2-minute drill. You don't save your, you know, whatever plays you have. I mean, you're going to try to get ahead early. You're going to try to score early, and then you don't have to worry about it later on down the line. And if it worked early, maybe it'll work again later on, too. You know, this idea that you're saving the best for last is kind of silly when you may not get to that point. Or when you do, you might have a 5-run lead instead of a 3-run lead or whatever. So that's an interesting thing to see. Is there anything like you, with this talk, getting back to the manager change? I asked Will Leach this earlier, and I've been asking people just in general to see what they think. Anything from what Shilt did that you would like to see Ollie do differently, other than what we just talked about? I mean, I don't know if those are things that fall on your list or not.
No, because I don't really think what happened with them this season, and obviously the win streak sort of changed the entire year.
Oh, yeah.
They made the playoffs, and they are a playoff team. You can't take that away from them. But you also have to keep in mind they had to make an historic run
just to get
to that point.
Yep. Yep.
And the best teams in the history of the game never made runs like that. So I didn't really have a problem with the way he managed overall. And in fact, I think, and maybe we've had this discussion before, it's not so much about what they do in a decision basis day to day.
Right.
It's just about the environment they create in the clubhouse and that sort of thing.
He did a good job.
Yeah.
And I thought Shilt did a really good job. But I also would say that there are things that could be better.
Sure.
One of the things to me is adjusting more quickly when someone's really struggling.
Right.
Like, stop running Paul DeJong out there for 2 months when he's not hitting.
But these are also things that managers do with players.
Of course
who've been around.
Yeah, yeah.
And Paul DeJong's been around.
Yeah.
So there's a...
But
there's
he's also been struggling since 2019, right? I mean, that's why I said, you make an exception. You know, if Arenado has 3 bad weeks, whatever. He's going to figure it out. Goldie, he's going to figure it out.
Right.
But, you know, when Bader's going a month without hitting, maybe he shouldn't play as much in that time, and then when he gets back to normal, he gets back to playing, you know, normal. Or in the DeJong case, I mean, he really hasn't hit since the first half of 2019.
See,
so how long do you get?
Well, I think there's a little bit of leeway because of 2020 just not being normal.
For sure.
And I mean, not everybody reacted to it the same or was affected by it the same. But I think you kind of have to make last year a wash.
Just forget
about it and move on and give the veteran shortstop, who's still a younger player, and you gave him a contract extension, I think that he deserved that leeway to, you know, try and figure it out. Every manager in baseball does this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not a Mike Shilt thing.
No, La Russa did it, too.
Everybody does.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're young and if they're part of your near-term future, he's going to get opportunities to play, and most people are going to say, all right, that's enough. Go to somebody else. But that's just not how teams operate. That's not how baseball players, managers operate.
Oh, we had that same thing with Tony. He had it with Chris Duncan, you know, our good friend, when Dunk was hurt there at the end of his time, you know, the neck problem, and he had the abdominal injury and all that. But they kept running him out there because they trusted him, because he had been a part of 2006 and all that. And it eventually took the front office trading him away to stop that. We saw it with Matheny and Alan Craig, where, you know, Craig was clearly diminished from an injury, and they kept running him out there, but, you know, it was time to play someone else, and it was Oscar, you know, Oscar Tavares, before he passed away. So, you know, you're right. We've seen this. This is not uncommon. It's not a Shilt thing.
And there wasn't a guy necessarily sitting there that, like, dude, you got to play this dude. He's, you know, he's the future.
Well, Edmundo Sosa was
but he wasn't.
He was not a top prospect.
Yes.
Right. He wasn't Dylan Carlson.
Correct.
Right.
Right. If it's a right field situation and Carlson's sitting there, and the expectation is he's going to be really good.
Or like
someday.
2019, when the whole outfield wasn't hitting and they let Randy Rosarena sit on the bench and not play for a month.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That may be the better example than the DeJong thing, because that was that was infuriating for a lot of people. And again, we don't know if he'd have been any good in 2019, but, you know, we saw what happened shortly thereafter, and everybody's like, and you didn't think this guy could play. And people blame that on the front office. That wasn't the front office. The manager didn't play him.
Yeah,
he was there.
Well, I mean, the front office can put pressure.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
part of this.
What's happening now is like it's I know I don't like to bring up Moneyball because that's not reality, the movie. But there are elements of that that I think are kind of true, where the front office says we've acquired these players for a specific purpose. We want them used in a specific way. You use them the way we've acquired them. And maybe that is the disconnect between the sides. We don't know. We'll find out at some point.
Chris Ranji's coming up at the top of the hour. We'll take a quick break, and I'll find out. We're going to... you want to talk hockey next, or you want to just, you know, keep talking?
I don't care. Am I still here for another 15? Yeah, I'll talk with you.
What, I mean, it's not going to be really that. It's going to be like 8 minutes or something like that.
It's not like I got anything to do.
You mean you just got a show at 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
I mean, you only
got to
talk for 3 hours when this is over. So
I guess I got to stick around after you.
I'll be honest. If you want, I'll hang for a little bit. If you want to like get a return on the investment of this time.
Let me think about that.
Okay. You don't have to. I'm just saying, fair is fair.
I might take you up on it.
All right.
I might take you up on
what's up to you.
I got a conversation with Tom Ackerman coming up
nice,
tonight. We could do all kinds. I don't care. We could do all kinds of sports.
Whatever.
I'm here for you. The show's called At Your Service.
Well, that's not yet. This is Sports Open Line.
Well, I'm talking about mine.
This is where I get to do what I want.
All right.
At Your Service, you get to do it.
That's
you want.
Right.
Deal?
Yeah.
All right. Hang tight. We got more Sports Open Line next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports Open Line on a Tuesday night. Happy to have my good friend Chris Ranji in for a couple more minutes. He's got At Your Service coming up at 8 o'clock. What do you got going on, man? What do you got planned for At Your Service? You doing politics, movies, sports? What are we doing?
Well, we're doing a number of different things. I've actually got a lot of sports-adjacent content that we're going to get to. I did want to talk to Ackerman about the Blues situation with O'Reilly and how they're playing now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about Ollie as well. Sports betting is getting really big.
Yeah,
and half the country has adopted it.
Let's go, Missouri, man. What are you guys
holding
up, man?
Missouri has not done it.
Stupid.
From what I understand, they might be one of the last states to end up doing it.
You know,
it's going to happen eventually.
When the news first broke, when the federal law was changed to allow states to do it on their own, I forget who it was, but we had a state representative on, and he was pushing something that would be like the first year, and obviously it got crushed somehow.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing, man?
I mean, the amount of money Illinois has taken on sports betting.
And people are betting it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it isn't happening. We're not creating a new habit. You're just taking it from the black market and putting it into something we can generate tax revenue.
Yeah, it generates revenue. So Ryan Horvat, who's with BetQL, which is an Odyssey enterprise, and he's on BetMGM at night. Going to talk with him as well about this, about the relationship with ESPN and Disney, because ESPN is starting to embrace it. And here's Disney with their wholesome image, and can we embrace
gambling
and all of this stuff? So we'll talk about that.
How about the NFL, by the way? You love them? Like, for decades, they're like, we will never be associated with gambling. And now it's like,
of course.
Come on down. You can bet at our games.
Wait
come
a minute.
On down.
We can make money off this?
I know. Like, I mean, what, they didn't think they could before?
Oh, no, this $15 billion a year industry didn't know they could make money off this thing?
Stupid.
All right.
But I don't mind like what the change is. I just don't understand why you were ever stupid about it before. Like, you had to understand. They've always been weird because we know that they know how important gambling is to the football industry.
Right.
Because they put out injury reports every single week and every single day of every single week that update people. And that's not for each other. That's not for the other teams.
No.
That's for Vegas.
Yes.
Or now, not just Vegas, but now all the other places where gambling is legal.
And you know what? I'm with you on it. We are so slow as a country to adopt things that we're going to adopt anyway, like weed. This was going to happen. It was going to happen for we all knew this was going to happen.
Another area of Missouri is just like, nah, nah,
nah. They'll get there eventually. And also, I know you're upset.
Yeah,
because
the state doesn't need any more revenue. I mean, nobody needs.
Nah, come on, we're fine.
Everything's good.
Everything's fine around here. We're going to talk a little bit about David Nicklaus is going to join us from the Post.
I thought that was Jack Nicklaus when I first saw it.
No,
I mean,
it's
that's
not
a good
Jack
get.
Nicklaus. No, it's David Nicklaus. Okay. He is the business columnist for the Post-Dispatch.
Uh-huh.
And you've probably noticed there are a lot of places that you go to and they're understaffed.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's causing a lot of issues for people.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to him. And I have a problem with you people.
Which people? Me?
Probably,
it's okay if it's me.
It's
okay.
I'm almost sure it's you.
Okay.
Of all the people in the world, I'm sure you're one of these people trying to watch Sunday night football, and doggone it, there were tornadoes in the area, and your football game was interrupted by tornado coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you were infuriated, weren't you?
I wasn't watching the
game. You were watching NCIS.
Now, I will say this.
And NCIS was preempted for tornado coverage.
I have incorrectly complained about that in the past.
Yes.
I did it. Remember the New Year's Day storms that came through years ago and did a lot of damage?
Yeah.
You know, all these warnings are coming on and, you know, bowl games are on. And I'm like, okay, do we?
Yep,
we
told you.
Because here's the thing.
I knew it.
Well, this is a case where I was clearly wrong. Right. I'm admitting straight up front, I was clearly wrong to crap on the coverage that was going on. But we do this all the time for things that aren't serious. Like, you know, we created the term here, a lot of us that jokingly behind the scenes talk about weathergasm. Like, as soon as there's weather, like, oh my God, there's weather! There's weather! And there's people on overpasses, and there's people like, you know, like
on overpasses.
Yeah, because you got to get the shot of the snow.
Oh,
it's snowing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, the snowmageddon.
Like, yeah, but I mean, we do this with storms and all that. And most of the time, it's just rain with some lightning and thunder. But I agree with you that, you know, when obviously there's safety issues involved, they should do what they did.
So,
but yeah.
You and I,
yeah.
I'm going to lecture you.
Go ahead.
Not right now.
No.
That's what's going to happen.
Later on, yeah.
That's what's going to happen on the show later tonight.
I'll listen.
I'm going to get up all on you, Kevin.
Good. I need it sometimes, man. I mean, look, let's be honest. I
want to watch the Colts. I want to watch the Colts and Niners. No, you don't. People are, their homes are being destroyed. What do you think? And this we do as a public service.
Yeah. No, I admit that I've been wrong about that in the past, but we also have to look at, like, most of the time when it happens, it's not that.
Well,
most of the time, it's just lightning and wind in your area.
Here's what's funny. I lived in Chicago when that really bad blizzard it's 10 years ago now.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah, the huge
And
one.
I was working the day it started, and I got off at 6 o'clock, and I remember being on the air telling people, we do this every winter we have snow. Calm down.
We all panic.
You're going to be okay. And then people left their cars on Lakeshore Drive for 3 days.
Ooh, yeah.
And eventually the city had to go and plow them out and tow them to various areas. The entire street,
yep.
Lakeshore Drive, covered in cars because the snow was so bad.
Yep.
And I said, oops.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Sorry about that.
You're right to criticize us dummies that do that.
Yeah.
I can take criticism.
All right. I want to be all
like I said, I got yelled at the time, and then I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't know in advance that it's that bad. I mean, that's the problem. And then the other times when they do it and it's like nothing happens, you're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But I understand it. I mean, especially especially tornadoes.
Tornadoes. This is a horrible area for that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, brother. Yeah, at your service is coming up next.
Yeah.
What are you doing first?
I'll let you know.
Okay. I'll be listening.
Do I have to tell you everything up front?
Well, no, you don't have to.
But do you want to know how the movie ends?
No, because I got to wrap up in 10 seconds.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, see you, buddy. Chris Raji is coming up top of the hour here at your service on KMOX.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.